You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier.
Welcome back to the Study Clicks podcast. You're back with your hosts, Emer and Nessa. This episode today is all about note-taking, effective note-taking, how to use it as a method of studying. There's definitely a right and a wrong way of taking notes, and we're here to give you basically all the tips you need on how to take the best notes possible.
Yeah. I mean, there are good ways and bad ways. I suppose there's not a right and wrong way. So we're here to give you the best tools and make sure that you're avoiding the bad ones and following the good ones. But of course, you can find your own way of taking notes that work for you as well. It's, you don't have to exactly do everything we say, but try to avoid the bad things at the very least, I guess. So we're just going to go through a couple of points we've prepared, stuff that we've used when we were in school and that worked for us, and other things that we've heard from other people that also are quite effective. So yeah, hopefully at the end of it you'll be very excited to start taking some new notes. And I think it is actually something that does help you get a bit motivated as well for study, because when you know how to do something properly, you're sort of ready to do it and more excited to do it. And then when you have good notes and you're ready to make good notes, I think it somehow makes the studying a bit easier, because you're just more prepared and it's all organized nicer and you know what you're doing. And that's always a good foundation for anything, really.
Yeah, and I think with stuff like Pinterest and TikTok and Instagram, there's so many like aesthetic note takers, or those proper people who have like this amazing calligraphy and their writing looks so nice. And while it's probably unattainable for most of us, I know I can't write like that.
We'll get onto it in a second. I have a point about it.
The thought of just doing it, I think, is motivating alone. Like, I was watching some of them in preparation for this podcast. I was thinking, yeah, if only I was like that. But in terms of motivation, it definitely works. So yeah, it should get you pumped for some note taking.
So shall we just sort of ping pong off each other? I think we both have a couple of things that worked for us, and we might just go through the list. Yeah. That makes sense to me. You want to start us off?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I kind of wanted to say is that when it comes to note taking, definitely have a different approach for every subject. Every subject is going to be different depending on the teacher you have, just basically what kind of a subject it is, whether it's more of a science-based subject or a subject you can't really study for, like English in some ways. And you're definitely going to have strengths and weaknesses in different subjects. I mean, that's just natural. Everyone's better at some subjects than they are at others. So there isn't basically a one-size-fits-all way of note-taking. So I would definitely keep that in mind when you're sitting down to make notes, that just because some kind of method works for how you take your biology notes, that isn't necessarily going to be the same if you're taking notes for, say, I don't know, accounting.
Yeah, and I suppose our tips, maybe there's two different types of note taking, really. There's note taking when you're in class and you're learning something for the first time, or you know, your teachers are giving you notes. And then there's the note taking when you're at home and you have more time and you're actually sort of making these more clear, structured notes for you to look back on for a revision. So those are the two different things we'll be talking about, and some of the tips refer to one more than the other and all that. So the first one that I was going to say was about like sectioning things as much as possible. And that's more for when you're taking notes yourself. So it's less, you might not have time to know what the exact sections that you should be learning things in when you're taking it down the first time in class and the first time you're learning it. So this is more for when you have all of the information that you need and you're trying to put it into your own notes for you to go back on later. And things like, I suppose it just really helps when you break things up into sections and categories, and maybe on, like, it's totally up to you how you want to structure it and format it on a page. Some people like to make tables, so you might have four boxes on an A4 sheet, and like that's sectioning something off. And then you have a list of functions in the top left hand corner, and you have a list of benefits in the top right hand corner. Like, this is a totally general topic that I'm talking about here, but you know what I mean, that you have that you're sectioning things off so that it'll help your brain look at things separately, instead of if you just have a huge page full of pure text and nothing is organized into any different areas. It's going to be very hard for you to specify what's going on that page and how to learn it properly. So yeah, sectioning things is very, very important.
Yeah, I think note-taking works in kind of, there's two processes to it, basically. There's the process of actually taking the notes is studying, and then you want to be able to read back over them later when you're studying again, when you're refreshing yourself on the topic. So basically, you want to be writing, when you're writing them out, you want to be writing them out in a way that makes sense to you as you're writing it out, but you also want it to make sense later when you're reading over the notes in bulk. So I think a good thing to establish, and like to repeat myself, like I just said earlier, it is good to have a certain kind of a system for how you write out notes, and it will be different for different subjects. But just say, for example, I'm just thinking about the notes that I took for biology. I made out all my own notes for biology. So say you just have a heading, and you know that your headings are always in a red pen or something like that. And then under the heading, you just have like a really quick definition, one line, and then maybe in bullet points, then you have some functions or like benefits, and then in a different color, then you'd have an example. Like there's using these ways of formatting and using different colors just helps your brain link all of these things together. And so you're not reading this block of text, like these notes, you've written them down in a way that makes sense to you for when you're writing them and when you're reading back over them again to learn it.
Exactly. And like, yeah, definitely color coding. I mean, it's another point that we have somewhere on the list about using highlighters. So you might have a set of highlighters of four different colors, and you could make up a system for yourself. Like, anytime I highlight something in green, it means that I absolutely have to know this. Every time I highlight something in red, it means that it's come up on in an exam question, something like that. Like, come up with a system for yourself. This is what we mean, like when we said earlier that it's going to be different for everyone, and you can come up with your own ways of doing things. But using colors will really help your brain retain that information and associate it with something in particular. So once you come up with those systems, you'll make things a bit easier for yourself later on. Yeah, and obviously highlighting things in general is hugely important. Don't go crazy highlighting everything. I know I definitely was guilty of that when I was in school. Like, I just loved highlighting stuff, and so I would just highlight almost every single line everywhere because I thought it was fun, but it wasn't very beneficial in the end. Like, when you go back over your notes and you're looking at, and it's like, okay, this is useless, because I was highlighting words like then and to, you know, things like that. You don't need to highlight those things. You just need to highlight keywords so that when you are coming back over your notes later, or you're looking over your book, you're not essentially reading the same thing twice. You're just reading the keywords, and you're showing your brain, okay, this thing is highlighted, I'm going to remember this. So yeah, don't be highlighting absolutely everything. Try to highlight key information, essential things that you need to know, and nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. Along those lines of how you should format things, I think a very, very important thing to know with note-taking, and this is something a lot of people probably don't understand, is like the aim of note-taking is to write down notes in a way that makes sense to you. It's comprehension, like it's not repetition. You don't want to copy. Like, there's no point in taking your textbook or whatever your teacher said and just copying it verbatim. You know, that's not the way that your brain understands it. The idea behind note-taking is that you are taking in the information, your brain is processing it, and then on the piece of paper or on your laptop or wherever, whatever, you're putting it down in a way that makes sense to your brain. And like, very more often than not, this isn't big chunks of paragraphs. So in terms of formatting, I would say definitely make use of bullet points. Do stuff as shorthand as possible, because it saves a lot of time. Like, you're very busy, you have homework, you have all these other stuff studying to do. You want to go as shorthand as possible. You really only do need bullet points, because it's all about just jigging your memory. I mean, as soon as you've learned the topic, it's all about just rejigging that information in your brain coming up to an exam, and you want to be able to remember that information. So yeah, I'd say definitely when it comes to note taking, it's very important that you're making use of bullet points and keywords.
Yeah, I think bullet points, keywords, and using acronyms, abbreviations, shorthand systems, don't write out too much. You know, like if you're writing out big long sentences, your notes probably shouldn't read like any normal sentence reads. You know, it shouldn't read like a book. It shouldn't read like anything like that. It should just be kind of almost these disjointed sentences. X does Y. Things like that you're not writing out these lovely, eloquent sentences, because you don't need that. Think about the fact that you have a lot of subjects to get through, and all of those subjects have a lot of topics, and all of those topics have notes that you need to take. So if you're being realistic about it, you just won't have the time to go into that level of detail and write down that many words, essentially. So you just want to take the absolute core information, and that's what you should be writing down in your notes. Obviously, your bullet points need to make sense, so you can use these conjunctions and prepositions and things like that to make it make sense, but you don't have to be writing out full sentences where it's not necessary. So, you know, and that might also involve you coming up with your own shorthand system. So let's say you're constantly writing out the word respiration in biology or something. Maybe you yourself, if you're the only one that's going to be looking at your notes, you might just say to yourself, okay, do you know what, I'm gonna come up with my own code for myself, like a little key on a map, and respiration is always going to be written down as RESP from now on. Things like that, like just come up with a little system for yourself if that would help you. It'll definitely save you a lot of time. And like I was saying, you know, you're just, the fact of the matter is that you're going to be a little caught for time, and sometimes it's hard to even make these notes in the first place. So when you do get around to making them, you want to make the process quick and easy and helpful for you when you're reading back over it. You know, reading takes time, and so the less words you have to read later on, the more quickly you will get through the study then as well. So it's sort of an all-round good practice to follow.
Yeah, and definitely what I would say with that is that if you are coming up with different shorthands and different acronyms, is make sure they are something that you definitely will remember, because you don't want to be like looking over your notes just the night before an exam and you're looking at these initials like LAP. What does LAP mean? Yeah. What did I mean by that? So yeah, definitely be clear in that. But yeah, like Emer said, note-taking can be a very time-consuming business. Definitely anything you can do to make the process or speed it up a little bit is worthwhile, so definitely find a little system that works for you.
Yep.
Actually, something I was meant to say at the top of the podcast, because we said there was different kinds of note-taking, the ones you would take in class and then the ones that you would, like, those are the kind of shorthand ones just to take in the information as you're hearing it for the first time, and then later when you're writing it out properly. I think it's also kind of good to mention that there's some people might be writing down their notes, and then some people might be putting up on the computer. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, how there's been studies about which ones are more effective. Basically on that note, what we said is that in terms of like taking notes, note taking with pen and paper, physically writing out, there does seem to be more pros to that than there is taking them online. It can be a bit of a more of a passive process if you're just typing them up. There is something about committing pen to paper where your brain is just working that little bit harder and it's processing the information more, and you're just more likely to remember it that way. But there's pros and cons to both ways. Maybe you have a really nice tablet and you love taking your notes electronically, or, you know, you have those apps where you can scan your notes, any written notes onto your tablet, all these kind of things. So I definitely wouldn't knock either of them, but definitely it's worth considering that there are differences between the two in terms of how you learn, but use the method that works best for you.
Yep, for sure. And you can use all that, like, it doesn't necessarily even have to just be like a document online versus a document on, like, a physical document. I'm sure using other tools like Google Spreadsheets, if you're like a very mathematical person, you might love putting your notes in spreadsheets where you can use tabs and filters and things like that. That could be also really helpful. So don't think that, you know, there's only a strict way of doing it. Definitely explore different tools like that you can use. A lot of them are free. And so there's a lot that you can use. So try a couple of things out. It's like everything in that we talk about the podcast. You have to just try a couple of things out and see what works best for you. Unfortunately, there's no like easy way to find out what will and won't work for you other than trying it, but hopefully it won't take too long.
Yeah, and there are actually lots of different tools like Quizlet and Anki. Like, one we recommend is Trello, because we use it a lot, study clicks, and the work that we do. We have a whole blog on how you could basically take your studying online and how you're able to categorize it and organize it that way. So yeah, definitely in 2021 and beyond, most students will realistically be using a mixture of both.
Yeah. So the next point I wanted to make was, so it goes back to the difference between taking notes in class and taking notes yourself at home, and this one is related to taking the notes first in class. And what we would recommend, or definitely what I would have tried to do towards the end once I kind of learned how to do studying properly, was don't go crazy trying to do it properly in class, because probably what's going to happen is your teacher is writing very fast on the board and they might not be Or you're trying to pay attention to listen to them because they're explaining it while writing it, and you're trying to write and understand and listen. And there's so many things going on in the class while you're trying to take down the notes that it's going to be quite hard for you to take them down as they're written, and also take them down well and implement the rules that we've, or the tips that we've mentioned so far about sectioning and highlighting and all that kind of good stuff that you're supposed to do. It's just going to be too hard for you to try and do that as you're writing them up for the first time in class. So we don't recommend trying to make them perfect. If where possible, try and catch the keywords that your teacher has given you. Maybe they might actually give you, it'll totally depend on the teacher. Some teachers like writing up the notes in the whiteboard on class. Some of them like just giving out a piece of paper and you go through it in class. So all of this will depend, obviously, but try and get the keywords. Hopefully your teacher will underline or highlight it for you or point it out in class at least. And then you can just try and take down those. You'll be writing quite quickly, so don't try to make your handwriting amazing or anything, but also try and make sure that you can read what you are writing, because when you try, if you try to read back on it later and you were trying to write so fast that it's just illegible what you've written, that's no good either. Which is again why you should just not try and write out these small filler words and conjunctions and prepositions and things like that, because you'll probably get the gist of the sentence that you were trying to write if you just include the keywords. Yeah, so hopefully at the end of the class, once your teacher has given you the notes, you should have a basic understanding of what's going on, a couple of keywords collected, some loose foundational notes going on. And then when you get home, that's when sort of like the real work happens, the real note-taking, the real studying. And you can use either the notes. So it's sort of like use a mix of the notes that you've taken yourself or the written notes, the sort of physical notes that your teacher might have given you, plus use the internet, use StudyClicks, use our videos and notes page. So like, let's say you were doing respiration in class with your biology teacher, then you go onto the respiration page on StudyClicks, you search respiration on Google, try and sort of gather all of the different types of notes and media and everything that you can on that thing. Yeah, with obviously there's time restraints as well, so don't spend all evening on the one thing. You know, you could in theory look at videos on respiration all day, but try and find some useful ones that'll help you understand the topic, and then just take the key parts from all of those things. And that's what you're putting into your own notes then. That's what you're making look pretty. That's what you're making the different sections for. That's what you're highlighting into different groups. That's what you're, do you know what I mean? Like it's, you do the very rough work in class. You just try and get the essentials, and then you're collating everything in the evening and making it look pretty. And it is reasonably important that you try and do it the same evening if possible, or like ideally the next day or the day after, or like at the latest the weekend after the week that you've done it. Because it's sort of helpful for this active recall thing that we like to mention a lot, isn't that right, Nessa?
Yeah, basically, I mean, we've talked about, I think it was only on the very last podcast, we talked about active recall, spaced repetition, and how we did a whole podcast on spaced repetition alone, because we think it is one of the most powerful ways of studying. And if you want to listen to that podcast, definitely would recommend going back and listening to it. But basically, this, you taking down the notes on the very first day, is the first step in active recall. It's the idea that you're routinely coming back to the information and that you're training your brain to remember it. And like, and when they say spaced repetition, you're kind of spacing out the intervals between the time that you keep coming back to it in the way that is most efficient for your brain to retain that information. So on that very first day that you are taking notes, that's you establishing the information for the first time in your brain. And then you can come back to it later following the steps in spaced repetition.
Yeah. And it's 100% studying. Like a lot of people come to us asking us on StudyClicks, where do I find the time to study? Because I'm doing this all day long. And a lot of the time what they're describing, that is study. Like that's 100% study, yeah. Writing down, taking down these notes. That is spaced repetition. And that is definitely study. And you're doing well, so don't be hard on yourself if you find you're spending all your time making notes. That is very valuable way to be spending your time.
Yeah. Another thing I'd say as well is that if there's something you don't understand in your notes or something that you went through in class and you don't understand it, flag it. Definitely make a mark of it. There's no point in having something in your notes that you don't understand. So yeah, make a note of it and then just ask your teacher. Like we said, please don't be afraid to ask your teacher questions. It's literally what they're there for. They should be more than happy to help you out.
Yeah, either if you have time, like I know some teachers will get annoyed if you interrupt them in the middle of them explaining something, but hopefully most of them won't. So if there's something and you're sort of writing it down what they're saying or what they're reading out and you're like, that just doesn't make any sense to me, you have to ask them, because you don't want to be at home trying to make up your own notes and being like, I don't know what that means. Now of course, like if that is the case and you haven't asked your teacher, luckily the internet exists. I'm sure you can find other ways to figure out about it, but it's oftentimes it's much easier when you have a real person explaining it to you. So it's really helpful and valuable to have that teacher time in class. So do try to flag things, or if your teacher's going at a really fast pace and you don't want to interrupt them, then just make a note, like a star next to the thing that you don't understand, and try and get their attention maybe towards the end of the class, get them to explain it further. Just don't leave anything, I suppose, in your notes that you don't understand or that doesn't make any sense to you, because when you come back to it and you are trying to revise it, of course it's not going to make any sense to you if you didn't understand it when you first wrote it down. So that's not a good practice to be getting into.
Yeah, exactly. So number one tip for effectively taking notes is making sure that they're organized. And I think a great way of doing this is having a folder. So likely you'll get like handouts in class that will be going into this folder anyway. And one thing that you could be doing is you just have your notes. They could be easily fit into sheets in the folder. With a folder, you can use like divider tabs. You have a different folder for every subject. I just think that is possibly one of the most efficient ways of keeping your notes organized.
Yeah, I used to love all my different folders, and just like spending a day organizing my folders was so satisfying as well. So it's satisfying to create, and then it's satisfying to look through, and it just makes the whole process easier. Again, like you're by following all of these tips, you're helping your future self, and we love helping your future self here at Study Clicks. We're always talking about how to make life easier for yourself in the future, and there's no downsides to planning ahead and making things easier on yourself. So yeah, keep your notes organized, make them pretty, make sure that they're all sectioned off in the right places, so you're not going, oh, hold on, I thought I had a section of notes here on respiration, and then turns out that you've stuck it into the osmosis section, or do you know what I mean? Like, just try to make sure that everything is in the right place and that you stay on top of it.
Something that you'll need to look at after often, and the process of doing that is studying as well, so it's win-win.
Yeah, I suppose the next one sort of ties in with what we were saying earlier about trying to understand what you're writing and what the teacher is saying, or what you're reading, depending on what way it's being communicated to you. But a good way, I suppose, there's a difference between not listening and not understanding. And what we were saying earlier is not understanding, but it's also important to properly listen and actively listen. When you're reading through the notes, or someone is teaching you the notes for the first time, don't just write down what's being put up on the board. I know that would have happened to me way too often. My teachers, when we were writing notes, they just put it all up on the whiteboard, and then we take it all down, and they'd just say, oh, Mary, you read through the first line, and Sheila, you read through the second line. You know, it's like, okay, but you just wrote it, and then I wrote it, and then someone read it, and then like, but what? There was absolutely no learning involved in that. So that happens so often, and then I'd look at my notes and I'd be like, okay, sure, these are words on a piece of paper, but what? I have no recollection of even writing it down, because I was not actively listening at all. I was not sort of consciously being present and trying to read it and trying to make sense of what was going on in the context of the topic we were studying or anything like that. So try to get into the habit of listening actively and not just tuning out while you're taking notes, because I know taking notes can actually be quite a monotonous activity. Like, it's not the most fun thing to do, especially when you're doing it live in class. But if there's one thing that you can try and improve on, I'd say it would be that, to be more present when notes are being taken down. Again, your future self will thank you if you actually try and take it in and process it while it's happening.
Yeah, I think it's my biggest study tip, really, is that like the whole the key to actually doing well in exams is not trying to memorize as much information as possible, but trying to understand as much information as possible. Because if you truly understand something, you don't need to study it in the traditional sense. You know, I keep doing air quotations and forgetting that this is an audio medium. I was doing air quotations there, but yeah, it's like, yeah, if you truly understand the concept, recalling that information in an exam is so much easier than memorizing it. You know, that memorization is going to leave your brain after a while, and it's not going to stick with you long term. So do the very you're not going to be able to do it for every topic, I don't think, anyway, you're not going to be able to do it for every topic, because, well, I guess some you'll just be better at than others, but really just do your best to get as comprehend the subject that you're doing as best that you can.
And it's tricky, like, we know it's not easy to just hear something and then know it, obviously. Everyone would be getting their H1s if that were the case, but you're definitely going to excel at some subjects, and then where you can, then it's just going to make life easier. It gives you time, if you understand something fairly easily by just actually properly taking in what you're reading, that gives you more time to pay more attention in other subjects and give more time to other subjects where that maybe isn't as easy for you. So yeah, just a good way of managing your time. So yeah, another thing that's kind of to bring it back to the active recall and the spaced repetition, I wanted to say that some people recommend, I wouldn't have really done this myself, but I kind of wish I did because I think it is a useful way of keeping track of when you learn stuff. So if you write the date on the notes when you write them or when you were given them, just try and keep a record of when it was that you first looked at it and when you first wrote down the notes so that you, when you're looking back over it, you can see when was the last time that you looked at it. So it doesn't, you maybe even want to keep a small box in the top right hand corner of every page that says that just keeps a small record of the last time you looked at it. So like you might, the first date might be the first day you look at them. And then every time that you do a little bit of revision or study on that page, you can add in the date and then you'll know for the next time you come back, you can say, okay, well, I looked at this last week, so now is a good time to look at it again. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, okay, now it's a good time to look at it again. A month later, this is the whole idea of the spaced repetition, that you're using these breaks between your study and you're increasing the amount of time between each study session of a certain topic so that you're telling your brain, okay, I'm coming back to this every now and then. This means that this is an important piece of information for me to retain. So again, go and listen back to our episode on spaced repetition to learn more about that. But the idea of putting dates on your notes is quite helpful in that sense, that you can come back and so that you're not wasting time kind of studying something that maybe you did quite recently. And it's, or equally, you can also see whether you've left way too much time between the last time that you studied something and you know to put that on your to-do list, or you know to put that into your study plan for next week. So it's all about keeping track. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to studying for the LEAVEN cert. So doing small little things like this is definitely going to help make that process a bit easier for you. So yeah, I think that's a good one that I wish I'd done. I unfortunately didn't do it, but I think I would have.
It never occurred to me to do that. So yeah, I never would have considered the benefits of doing that. This next point on our list, and I've marked it as optional because it's doing it does kind of eat a bit more into your time. But I think if you did put a time, and like it could realistically only take 5 minutes, and if you did want to do, I think it could be extremely beneficial. But an option, another step that you could add in your note taking is beforehand, you know, in advance of you learning the topic. So say that you are in biology and you know that you're going to be doing, let's stick with respiration, you know you're going to be doing that next, but you haven't, your teacher hasn't gone through it with you yet, you don't know anything about it. I think it might be a good idea just to take your textbook or your revision book or whatever you're using and just skim the top, like don't try to understand anything, just have a quick read through so that when your teacher does go over in class with you the next day, you're reminded of stuff. And I just think having that little bit extra bit of preparation can really help solidify the information when your teacher goes over it with you, and then you kind of further solidify it again when you're note taking. I just think that if that is something that works for you and you have the time for it, definitely go for it.
Yeah, if your teacher tells you. I feel like we used to always just rock up to class and they'd be like, this is what we're doing today, and then we never had any idea what was going to happen before that. But if your teachers are the kind of teachers that tell you in advance, then yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to wrap things up then, I think it's important to reiterate the importance of keeping things tidy, neat, formatted, sort of created in a right way. So I think what we didn't really touch on earlier was the importance of keeping things neat and tidy. And that's obviously, the good handwriting is important. So if your handwriting is a little bit messy, maybe you could spend some time trying to make that a little bit clearer. Obviously, if you understand your own messy handwriting, then that's fine, it's not a big deal. But other things that are included in this is not overloading the page. So keeping things neat and tidy means including spaces and page line breaks, things like that between your sections, not overloading the margins with doodles and things like that. That's going to just, when you're brain looks at that page and it's full of information and there's just everything going on everywhere, it's going to be a lot harder to try and process what's on that page. Obviously, don't waste paper either. It's 2021. We care about the environment. But don't overload the page with information. Try to keep quite a few bits of spaces around the different pieces of key information that you're trying to remember, and don't try and fill every single corner of the page. I know sometimes Ness was saying earlier that these Instagram, TikToks, these very aesthetically pleasing note takers who make this like amazing calligraphy title for every topic. And like, yes, that's gorgeous. Yeah. And if you're a creative kind of person, then like for you, that's barely even studying. That's just, that's your downtime. You love doing that. Then I have no problem with that at all. And I think you should do that. But if you're, the truth of it is that it's a time consuming process studying for the LAME cert. It's the thing that we hear most often from people on StudyClicks is, oh, I'm stressed. I don't have time. How do I get this all done in a certain amount of time? And of course, you know, spending a lot of time doing this fancy calligraphy stuff is going to eat into your time, and it's not exactly necessary to do. So maybe have a think about it. If you're the kind of person that likes doing that, but it is eating into your time, then it might be something to sacrifice doing all the very fancy formatting. Obviously, the proper formatting is good, and keeping it neat, keeping it color-coded, including diagrams where possible. That's all really important, but try and do it realistically so that you're not going overboard with diagrams, you're not going overboard with titles and making them ultra fancy. Just try and keep it to the key core fundamental things that you need.
Yeah, I think the key thing there is just finding the right balance between your notes being readable and, you know, the formatting making sense to you and not being a big chunk of text. Like, keep the formatting good, neat, but don't make it overly aesthetic in it if that is eating into your time. I mean, if it's something that you love doing and maybe it's something you like to do on your study break, then go for it. But if it's the time could be better spent elsewhere, then there's no need, really. There isn't.
Yeah. I think that's all the tips we have for now, but I feel like we could talk about this forever. There are actually so many different tips that you could implement and give on this topic, because yeah, note taking is a very popular activity. And so yeah, so we might do a part two, but let's see. But for now, we might just wrap it up there. If you have any feedback and you want to hear anything specific on the podcast, please do get in touch with us. We love hearing from our listeners. You can contact us at our email address, info@studyclicks.ie. You can contact us via the website if you have an account. You should definitely have an account if you don't already have one. Just message us via the chat icon or via our social media.
So yeah, we're on all the social medias. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, on Snapchat, minus TikTok. You can message us on any of those. Me, Nessa, I'm the person who runs that. So if you ever have any question, I'm the person on the other end of that. And I'm happy to take any questions you have there, any suggestions for future podcasts. And definitely follow the social medias anyway, because they're great. And I post lots of great stuff there.
They're great. They're funny. And we also have lots of sort of quizzes, fun things going on, memes, regular competitions where you can win cool stuff. So it's definitely worth following if you like cool stuff.
If you're listening to this in November of 2021, I have a competition coming soon.
Ooh,
a
exciting
teaser for you.
I don't even know about this competition yet. Can't wait to find out. Yeah, so finally, also, we do love hearing from you in terms of how you like the podcast, and a way that you can tell us is by reviewing us. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, or I think you can leave reviews on other places by now, maybe not. I don't know. Podcast hosts are confusing. But anyway, you can, you know, follow us, tell your friends about us. There are lots of ways that you can share the love. We really love hearing positive feedback. So do let us know and leave a review if you possibly can. That would be great. We would be...
That'd be amazing.
Very thankful. Okay.
I think that's it for now.
That's all.
Stay tuned. Talk to you next time.
We'll be back. Bye.